James chapter 1 this morning. I want to read a few verses for you, with you, if you have your Bible there. We're going to read, starting in verse number 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." We'll probably just stop the message there and have an invitation, right? "Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if many be hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Look back at verse number 18 there. I want you to set up the passage that we're talking about here. It says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We've been talking about the last couple of weeks on being rooted in Christ. Being rooted in Christ. If we are going to bear the right fruit, then we must concentrate on the root. We must concentrate on what God has at the very foundation of what we're supposed to be producing. The Bible says we're supposed to be the first fruits of Christ. We're supposed to be producing, as we say, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit of the Spirit. The Bible shows us that if we're going to produce the right fruit, then as we say in this passage, and as we've looked at in Colossians chapter 2, we must also be rooted and built up in Him. When we say rooted, we mean that the root of the tree, we've been talking about Psalm chapter 1 this year so far, and growing. And if we're going to grow like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bear fruit, his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Each and every one of us sitting here this morning wants to be a successful person, wants to be a success for God. Now, there might be someone here that wants to be a success, but it's not necessarily at spiritual things, or in God's way, or in the way that Christ wants you to be successful. But I would imagine the majority of the group sitting here this morning, you have come to church wanting to figure out how to be a success for God, how to love people more, how to have more joy, how to have more peace, how to be long-suffering towards others, how to be gentle and kind and good and meek. How do I do those things? How do I show those things? Well, if you're going to have the right kind of fruit, then you got to have the right kind of root. God says through Jesus Christ in His own ministry, He said that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. If the root is bad, the fruit's going to be bad. If the root is good, the fruit has a great possibility of producing good fruit. And that's what I want of our church. I would love for our church to grow numerically this year. I am a numbers guy. I like seeing numbers. I like studying numbers. I think numbers are important. I think numbers aren't the most important thing, but they are important. Pastors who say, "Well, I'm not worried about the number on the board," they're people who aren't got probably very many people in their church, or really don't have an interest in having more people in their church. I want more people in our church. I want more people under the preaching. I want more people involved. Who wouldn't want that, right? But we want to not only grow numerically this year, we want to grow spiritually this year. We want to grow emotionally. We want to grow socially. We want to grow financially. We want to grow these ways so that we can make more of a difference for God. We want to grow in these matters of fruit. And sometimes the temptation in the Christian life is to concentrate on the fruit. And when we see bad fruit, we pluck the bad fruit and we throw the bad fruit away. When we see a good fruit, we make sure everybody notices and we shine it up real good. And we make sure that everybody knows it came from our tree. But the Bible says that we're to be rooted in Him. that our main concentration should be on what the root is doing, the fruit will come. It is the matter of keeping the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, we've got to make sure that we're concentrating on our mind and our heart, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We've got to make sure that we concentrate on the root of the matter, the heart of the issue, so that we can produce the fruit that God wants us to produce in our life. We talked about being rooted in Christ. It is being planted in Him. It is salvation. It is being born again. It is making sure we're guarding against the culture of this world. The prevention of spiritual roots is from our own flesh, is from the world, from the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil, the Bible says, the pride of lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are things that are trying to uproot us in Christ. We were planted in Christ the day we were saved. We are planted by the river of water. The Bible shows us what it means to be rooted in Christ is to be saved by Christ. To be rooted in Christ, and for those roots to grow stronger and deeper, it is trying to get closer to Christ. And may I just say at the outset of this message, I know of no greater way to get closer to the Lord than to get closer to Him in His Word. We must be rooted in the Word of Christ. If I just said to you this morning, and so many people have taken this verse out of context, including me in my years of preaching, but if we said we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, each and every one of us would say amen. We need to be swift to hear. We need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Some people have said you've got two ears and one mouth, so you can listen twice as much as you talk. That's not bad advice. Somebody's scolding their husband over there. We won't talk about that. We'll just have an invitation. Brother Craig can get right with God. But listen, if we can give all kinds of practical advice this morning about being quiet and being still and listening to good advice and walking in the counsel of godly people and making sure we're seeking out good counsel for in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. We can talk about all those things this morning, but the context of this passage is dealing with the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 18, of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear what? The word of truth. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, here it is, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The Bible says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible shows us and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All of that passage of Scripture is talking about your response to the Word of God. Now, we don't necessarily equate that in the Christian life. Well, I'm going to get closer to the Lord. I'm going to not use His name in vain. I'm not going to listen to counsel from ungodly people. I'm going to make sure that I watch the right things on television. I'm going to make sure that I go to the right places for my entertainment, or for I'm going to hang out with the right kind of people. And those things are all good things. Those are all things that we would say draw us closer to the Lord and make sure that we are receptive to what God wants us to get. But if we're going to be receptive to what God wants us to get, it is to receive His Word. Sometimes we get this idea that if we're just real still and quiet and we pray, that all of a sudden we're going to get all the knowledge and all the wisdom and all the understanding and everything that we need from God if we just be quiet for a little while. You know, slow to speak. Good advice, but not spiritual advice. For the Bible says we're to be quick to hear, not our mom, not our dad. Good advice. We should be listening to our mom and dad, and we should honor our father and our mother, and we can talk about all those things, but we must not pass up the fact that what this is talking about is not quick to hear mom and dad, not quick to hear the preacher, not quick to hear good advice, not quick to hear good counsel, not good and quick to hear a good book. Quick to hear the Bible, the very words of God. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Do you know what other thing is the way, the truth, the life? Jesus, the living Word, He said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." The living Word of God is the Bible, the living, breathing Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You and I don't need somebody else's counsel, the thing that we need, the second thing we need. Listen, we need to get back to the Bible. We've got to have a revolution. We've got to say, listen, everybody is just drifting today. Everybody's just drifting away with the culture and drifting away with other churches and looking to other churches to see what they're doing. We've got to get back to the Bible and see what the Bible says we ought to be doing. Dad, the most important thing you can do with your family is not read the Reader's Digest with them. Am I for the Reader's Digest? I like Reader's Digest. They have some good jokes in there. Probably half the illustrations you've ever heard me give is from the Reader's Digest. I like the Reader's Digest. They got some good stories in there. They got some good articles. They got some good jokes. But they don't have any spiritual advice. There's no spiritual counsel. There's no spiritual understanding. There's no spiritual wisdom. Oh, we might be able to take a situation from today and connect it with something from yesteryear. But listen, we've got to get back to the Bible. The greatest illustrations you could ever use are illustrations from the Bible. I was reading a story the other day, and it made me think of an illustration from the Scriptures. Colorado made the 2012 headlines one of the most horrific trials and tragedies ever to take place in our country. How many remember a man named James Holmes? Heard that name? He's the man who is brilliant but awkwardly social. He's a 24-year-old neuroscience student in Colorado. He went to a midnight viewing of Batman back in 2012. He sat in the theater with everybody else after having bought his ticket. Halfway through the movie, he snuck out a side exit door and put on Kevlar armor and gathered all of his guns and ammunition. Went back in the door of the theater and began to shoot and killed 12 people, innocent people, and wounded 70 others. You know, I was reading the story because it came up. You know that he just got convicted of that last May of 2015 or June of 2015 or something like that. A man does that, and it takes 3 years for us to convict him. That's just a side note, but Brother Dwayne, get on that, man. We've got to speed these things up. You're a lawyer. You got pull. Come on, man. An officer choked back tears as he told the court how he entered the building and immediately slipped in blood. Investigations uncovered other bizarre behavior in his life as authorities found dozens of explosive devices with tripwires rigged to trigger when the police officers went in his 800-square-foot apartment. The reason I was reading the article is because I was reading something on the psychiatry behind those things, and everybody in America, especially the news pundits, attempted in 2012 to uncover what was going on in Holmes's heart and his mind that would cause him to commit such unthinkable acts. It is commonly understood that this horrifying fruit problem is the indicator of a root problem, but most of the time we are trying to figure out the reason for the fruit without ever looking at the root. It's easy to do if we look at the first murder in the world when Cain killed his brother Abel. There was something going on underneath. On the surface, we'd say, well, he was angry and he hated his brother and all of those things. But underneath, it was jealousy. And underneath of it was envy. And underneath of it was pride. See, everything that we see outside has its roots on the inside. Every sin that we would say, well, my husband struggles with this, or my daughter struggles with this, or my coworker struggles with this, and it's easy to try to counsel those people and try to get them to pluck the fruit off and say, don't do that again, or don't take that again, or don't look at that again, or don't shoot that in your arm again, or don't go there again. And all everybody wants to do is make sure the tree looks good. And we have got to get back to the place where we realize I am not going to have the proper fruit in my life. I can pluck fruit all day long. I can stop trying to be angry. I can count to 10. I can sit in the corner. I can go to the psychiatrist. I can get to the psychologist. I can take another pill. I can do all of those things. But unless I get my heart to God and get my heart back to the Word of God, I am going to continue to struggle with the fruit in my life. Because the struggle is with the root in my life. And that is my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord. I was planted in Him, and I must grow in Him. I was rooted in Him, and I must grow in Him. I was planted by the rivers of water the day that I was born again. But if I'm going to have a leaf that does not wither, if I'm going to bring fruit forth in His season, if I'm going to be a person who does not quiver and does not quake and does not pass away and make no difference in this world, I'm going to have to make sure that what is deep down in my life, what is truly real in my life, is not only being born again in Christ Jesus, but I must also be daily delighting and studying and meditating upon His Word. See, it's a spirit of receptivity. We must have a spirit of receiving the Word of God. Look at verse 21 there. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. We talked about that. We've talked about departing from evil and doing good. We've talked about the culture of the world is what's going to hold us back from getting to the Lord. We've talked about the things that the Bible says in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We've got to get our eyes off of the evil stuff. We got to get our hearts off of the evil stuff. We've got to get our minds off of the bad stuff. We got to make sure that we are not concentrating on that which is not pleasing to God. The Bible says we've got to lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness. One of the coolest phrases in all the Bible. Superfluity of naughtiness. Next time I'm correcting my children, I'll say, I am displeased with your superfluity of naughtiness. Parents, you will have great sway with them after that because they'll be totally confused at what you're saying. But then it says this, when you understand, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sin. We've got to be separated people. Why do we separate? Why do we depart from evil? So we can do the good. So we can think right. So we can talk right. So we can act right. So we can get our minds on the things of God. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evil. God understands us. That when our eyes are on the wrong things, when our eyes are on the bad things, when our eyes are on those that will break our concentration from God, He says, get away from that stuff. Put that stuff aside. Be swift to hear. What am I swift to hear? He says this, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. And receive with meekness a spirit of receptivity, a spirit that is going to receive the Word of God. Listen, you're going to have to get to the place where all of the things that are going on in this world, all of the distractions away from God. Remember in Samuel when Samuel came to Eli and said, I heard you call me. And he said, that wasn't me. Go lay down. He come back to Eli again. He said, you called me, sir. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. The third time it happened, Eli discerned that God was talking. God only spoke personally with the prophets of that day. And he discerned that Eli's days of being a prophet were about to be over, and God was calling Samuel, and Eli discerned that as far away from the Lord and the things of God and raising his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as he was, he discerned that God was now calling Samuel, and Samuel came to him and he said, "Next time you hear that voice, say, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And what was Eli saying? Don't listen to me. Don't. I'm not the one that's going to lead and guide you in life. I'm not the one that's going to be able to show you faultlessly how to act and how to live and how to be a prophet of God. You got to listen to the voice that you're hearing. And I find so many Christians they, I'm not trying to get myself out of counseling, but you know what? Most of the time I do in counseling is I take you to the Word of God. And I'm not trying to discourage you from seeking out counsel. Please don't get me wrong this morning. But it's amazing how many times we ask somebody a question before we ask God. It's amazing how many times we're asking advice from somebody or help from somebody before we ask advice and help from God. And God's help and God's nurture and God's admonition and God's correction and God's doctrine and God's instruction in righteousness and all that God wants for us in this life is found in His Son Jesus Christ's salvation and found daily in the Word of God. You say, "I'm too busy to read the Word of God." If you're too busy to read the Word of God, you're too busy. "Well, I've got a lot of stuff going on and my kids are acting up." You probably ought to get to the Word of God. "Well, I don't understand some things about my job and what I'm supposed to do next." Then you probably ought to settle down and get to the Word of God. You realize the first reason that God created you and I was to fellowship with Him, to talk with Him, to walk with Him in the cool of the day. And although sin severed that relationship, He established that relationship once again with us through the death of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And He wants to talk with you, and He wants to walk with you, and He wants to fellowship with you. And one of the greatest ways you could ever do that and find the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and the will of God for your life is through His Word. It's not only a spirit of receptivity, it's a spirit of humbleness. We need a spirit of humility. A spirit of receptivity. And the Bible says to receive His Word. But how? With meekness. With meekness. Can I just really challenge your heart this morning with a thought? Some of you think you're better than what you are. I'm speaking to myself this morning too. Listen, there are times where I think, man, I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm the preacher, a good husband. And I didn't ask my wife that before I said that. A great father. Man, people probably ought to watch me a little closer. They'd probably be well on their way in the Christian life. And then I read things like receiving the Word of God with meekness. We've got to come to the Word of God with a spirit of receiving His Word. Many times I've come to the Bible and I've said, "Lord, I need something for so-and-so's family. They're really hurting right now and I need something to give to so-and-so. They've asked me a few questions and Lord, I need to come to You. For me. I need to come to You and Your Word. And I need something today. I don't have it all figured out, Lord. I don't have it all in order, Lord. I've got things in my life that are poisoning the root of my life. Lord, I pray that You'll help me. You'll help me to receive Your Word with humility." That we would be a people of God that come to God with prepared to receive a spirit of receptivity, a spirit of humility. And lastly, can I just say this morning, may we come to God with the spirit ready to obey. There's one thing in hearing the truth, and one thing the Bible says, swift to hear, then slow to speak and slow to wrath. But be doers of the Word. The Bible says, we are to receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only. It's one thing to be swift to hear and say, man, I need that. Man, I need to work on that. And there's one thing of consenting and saying, I've got to have that. That's good. That's going to make me a better husband. That's going to make me a better father. That's going to make me, maybe a lady would say, that would make me a better wife or a better mother or a better employee or a better employer. Or that'll make me a better citizen. That'll make me a better Christian. That'll make me a better church member. And then there's another thing of following through and doing it. There's not many weeks that go by in Bible Baptist Church's life where the altar is not full of God's people saying, preacher, I needed that. Preacher, that's for me. Preacher, I want to do better in that area. Preacher, I'm asking God for His help. That's receiving. The Bible says it is a horrible thing for a Christian to be a hearer only. And that hear just doesn't mean you heard the sound. That means you actually consented to it. You actually said, yes, I understand that. And yes, I need to do that. It's like if you had your children. You say, I need you to take out that garbage. And you know what? Your children looks back at you and says, yes, ma'am. Man, you just about faint in the floor. Man, they heard me. It registered. And they said back to me, yes, ma'am. What if you came back 20 minutes later and the garbage was still there? Would you still be happy? Well, wait a second. They said it in the right spirit. They said, yes, ma'am. They said right away. They said, absolutely. You're the greatest mother that's ever walked the face of the earth. And I will take care of that garbage for you. You about fainted, and 20 minutes later, you knew they heard you because they consented to it. Man, they were under conviction about it. 20 minutes later, the garbage is still there. It is no different than what we do with God. When there's garbage in our life, and we come to a service, and like a good church member, and a good Christian, and a good father or mother, you know there's issues. I mean, just look around the room. We have issues. We are issue-oriented people. It does not take 5 minutes to realize the people of Bible Baptist Church, this is a hospital, not a museum. We are a bunch of hurting people, gashed open, laying on the gurney. I need help. We consent to that. We come and ask God, God, I got a big old wound. Across my neck. I got a big old wound in my hand, Lord. Spiritually speaking, I am gashed open today. You say, God, I've got garbage in my heart. God, I got garbage in my mind. God, I've got garbage in my mouth. I've been speaking what I ought not to speak this week. I've been thinking what I ought not to think. I've been looking at what I ought not to look at. I've been acting the way I ought not to act. And then we go our way. We heard His Word. We consented to His Word. We realized the problem in that Word. But we're not doers. My friend, we've got to change it around. We must be hearers and doers. A spirit of receptivity. Prepared to receive with humility. And then prepared to obey. May God help us to hear His Word, to be in His Word daily. That we should be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. Oh God, I want to produce fruit for You. I want to show somebody Your love. I want them to believe me. When I say I'm a Christian, I want them to search out Your name because I'm leading them to You. It is going to be His people that are swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Receiving that engrafted Word with meekness and humility. And then once we receive it, once it gets into the depths of our hearts and the nooks and crannies of our wicked lives, and it searches us out, we say, oh God, help me put into practice what I've heard today. I believe with all my heart that your roots in Christ will run deep and run strong if you not only receive His Word, but you'll obey His Word. Would you stand together with me forward to prayer this morning, please?